There's a bunch of Kedoshim. Bunch of Kedoshim has certain directives that are difficult for us to understand about human relations. The first is Lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha. You should not despise your brother in your heart. I mean, it's not clear exactly what you did or what you did wrong. I mean, as long as you keep it to yourself, I mean, like, doesn't everybody despise somebody? I mean, isn't that sort of regular? Anyway, that's what the Torah says. Lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha, and ocher tachiach et amitecha. You should, if you find some blemish in the person that you are relating to, you have to tell them, you know, that they have to improve, that they have to change. So, it's not sure whether these two parts of the pasuk have anything to do with each other. Like, lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha, don't keep it to yourself. Ocher tachiach. Or are they two different things that don't really have anything to do with each other? It's hard really to understand. Rashi says, "Lo tisa alav." I'm sorry. The next part of the pasuk, "Lo tisa alav chet," you should bear the burden of his transgression, which you should tell him. Right? Rashi says, "Lo tisa alav chet." You shouldn't. Rashi says, "Lo talbin et panav barabim." Don't embarrass him. Don't tell everybody what he did. There's some kind of the Torah is very concerned about how you deal with what you see, with the people you are surrounded by. How when do you give in, and when do you have to reprove? In order to make sure that people understand that what they did was wrong. Okay. I mean, so it's like a pasuk, it's a mystery. The next pasuk is Lo tikov lo titor et b'nei amecha. Okay. Lo tikov lo titor, you should not. These are like hard words. Tikov titor. Tikov is nikama. Nekama means that I would take revenge. He did it to me, I do it to him. Lo titor is a little harder to understand. It's not a word that we use so frequently. Right? We, in modern day parlance. So nekama means don't do to them what they did to me. And nitira is a little bit less obvious. But let's look at Rashi. Rashi says this. Lo tikom amar lo hashileni magalcha. I say to my fellow, lend me your a magal is like a sith, sickle. I mean, one of those things that you work with, right? A tool. Give me a tool. Amar lo lav. So he says no. I don't want to give it to you. Lemachar amar lo hashileni kadomcha, and then the other guy. The bad guy says to the good guy, could you lend me your shovel, your pick, your axe, you know, lend me something. Amar lo, eini mashilcha, kederech shelo hishaltani. I'm not going to lend it to you, just like you didn't lend it to me. Zohi nekima. So Rashi says that this is revenge. This is lo tikom. What is lo titor? Ezohi nitira. So what does that word mean? Rashi says, Amalo hashi ileni kardomcha. Amalo lav. Story starts the same way. You know, lend me your axe. And he says, no, I don't want to. Lemachar amalo hashi ileni magalcha. The next day, he says to the first guy, like, let me borrow your axe. Right? The word magalcha would not translate here. Amala helecha veini kamotcha. And he says to me, okay, here, I'm giving it to you, but I just want you to know that I'm not like you. You wouldn't lend it to me, but I'm not like that. I am happy to lend it to you. Shelo ishaltani. You didn't lend it to me. Zohi nitira. Shenoter ha'eva belipo afolpi she'eino nokeh. That's what nitira means. Nitira is to keep it in you, right? Even though you didn't take revenge, but you let out the hate anyway. You say, "Oh, you're a terrible person. Here's the axe you wanted. You terrible person." So there's something here. There's something here, and these psukim that seems that the Torah recognizes the fact. As the Gemara says, that words can kill. You know, when you brand somebody, when you brand somebody in a negative way, I mean, it's very hard for them to get out of it. I mean, what do you do if you talk Lashon Hara? I mean, that's what these psukim also are talking about. But, well, you remember, what happens if you talk Lashon Hara? And then you are contrite, and you do tshuva, and you klop al chetz, you know, for all of Yom Kippur. So you assume that you can get atonement for what you did. Unfortunately, it doesn't go away. In other words, the sin of Lashon Hara is not so much that you did it. For that you can assume that there is some method of atonement. But the sin of Lashon Hara, the sin of all these things that we're talking about in these psukim, is that it doesn't go away. And there is no way to compensate. You can't compensate for defamation of character. It's, you know, like today, you hear about something, so you Google it. The Google tells you everything about that person from the time of the creation of the world. Nothing ever disappears. It's always there. So they say, and then he was accused of this. And then he was accused of that. What do you mean he was accused of? Is that a real or is that an imagined? So Google is a participant in the ongoing Lashon Hara. It never stops. Never stops. Lashon Hara then becomes history. That's what we call history. Lashon Hara. So this is the Torah here is relating to the problems of defamation of character. Like you're going to say to somebody, okay, here you could have the axe, but remember, and everybody standing around is listening, you didn't lend me something when I asked you for it. So of course, that sticks. There's nothing you can do. You got nothing you can do. So it's finished.
If you don't say anything, then it's not Nithira, but you feel it inside.
I suppose it is, but we can't. The Torah didn't answer feelings. It just said that if you act in a certain way, you create a situation that can't be undone. That seems to be what the Torah is saying. Of course, you should assume. Well, we'll see in a minute.
And there should be assumed that there are other people present.
There what?
There are other people present. I mean, it was just you and the other guy. And since you didn't lend it to me yesterday, but nevertheless, here it is.
There were always other people present.
In this particular
because the other guy will go on and say, you know what he said? You know what he said when he gave me this act? There's nothing, there's no secrets. There are no secrets. Well, let me say, it's very hard to create a secret.
Was it just you talking to him? So listen, you
didn't lend it to me. Yeah, I understand, but there's always somebody behind the bookcase. Okay. It's always, everything comes out. Does it all come out? Even military secrets and political secrets. It all comes out, and it comes out in odd ways. So that's lo tikova lo titoret b'nei amecha. And then the part of the pasuk that we are interested in: v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. I think I'll pause for a minute. Apparently, the Arizal said that when you get up in the morning, the first thing that you should say is V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. And so if those of you, I remember in the 60s, you know, before the art scroll Sidurim, everybody in Yerushalayim, all the kids in Yerushalayim to show up with a Tehillat Hashem Siddur, the Chabad Siddur, because they were free. And one of the first things that kids learn is free is good. So they all had this sitter. You know, they had the Tfilas Hashem sitter. I know because I saw before in my life. Talk about the 60s. Yes, I was alive at that time. I think a little more alive than I am now. But I looked at the sitter and it said, there it was, right at the beginning of the sitter. Every day, that's what you're supposed to say. So the Arizal had a perception of things, which had ultimately a tremendous influence on Am Yisrael. Why? How it happened? Why did everybody pay attention to the Arizal? I don't know. I mean, I wish I knew, but I really don't know. I don't know why the Arizal was as influential as he was. You know, he died very young. He was in Tzfat for a very short period of time. And somehow, he managed to galvanize the community of people around him so profoundly that every word he said and every idea that he had became the subject of discourse. And those discourses were inherited by Am Yisrael, even those who claim that they're not Hasidim and that they are not Kabbalists and they're not into them, but he did things. He made it necessary for us to reconsider. And one of the things that he demanded that we reconsider is this notion of Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, which he felt had been overlooked, forgotten, put aside. And why is that? Because Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, we look at the Rashi. Rashi says, Omar Rabbi Akiva is a cloud gadol batorah. Can you imagine that? This means, the words mean, Omar Rabbi Akiva, that we know, Zeh, V'hafta l'recha kamocha, klal gadol b'torah. Now what could that possibly mean? So you all know, you remember the story of Hillel and Shammai. Right? You know the story of Hillel and Shammai, Shabbos, the Gemara and Shabbos, the Lamed Aleph Omer Aleph. The potential proselyte came to Shammai and said, teach me the whole Torah, while I'm standing on one foot. Right? Shammai thought that he was irreverent, took something in his hand, and whacked him, and chased him out of his yeshiva. So then, he was indefatigable, he, the proselyte. And so he went to Hillel. So he said, Hillel, teach me the Torah while I'm standing on one foot. Now, I don't know about this proselyte. I don't know what was going on, why he wanted to learn the Torah standing on one foot. I mean, but obviously, it was not an easy undertaking to teach somebody the entire Torah while he was standing on one foot. So Hillel said, in Aramaic, Mandasani Lach, whatever is despised or hated by you, don't do to others. Which most people take as being a kind of an Aramaic translation of the Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. And that eventually, several hundred years later, Rabbi Akiva summarized Hillel's position by saying, Zeh Klal Gadol Batorah. So Zeh Klal Gadol Batorah means that it means everything. That if you could do this one mitzvah, Ava hafta l'recha kamocha, ze klal gadol b'torah, Rabbi Akiva said, Rashi said, it's based on Hillel's position, that somehow v'hafta l'recha kamocha tells you everything about the Torah, everything about Yiddishkeit. All you have to do, once you got that straight, v'idach zil gemor, just go and learn the rest, that's fine. So it was Rabbi Hillel didn't say you don't have to learn the rest of the Torah. Hillel didn't say you don't have to do the rest of the other mitzvot. He just said that if you have this one straight, you have this one mitzvah straight, that everything else falls into place and everything else is understandable. Now, this position, Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, Rashi, this position that all you have to do is do it, and then everything else falls into place, is disputed by the Ramban. Right? The Ramban says, let's look at the Ramban. Let's look at the Ramban. The Ramban says this. Haflaga. The word haflaga means exaggeration. It's an exaggeration. It's not real. No such thing as haflaga kamocha. It doesn't mean what you think it means. It means something else. What is this something else that it means? Here you go. The Ramban, who was a mystic, knew the Kabbalah, commented in Kabbalistic ways in his commentary on the Torah. Here, he's a regular kind of psychologist. He says, what does this mean? How could the Torah ask me to love my neighbor as myself? Everybody understands that I love myself more than I love anybody else. Now, those of you who have like psychological backgrounds may want to argue with the Ramban about this. But that's what he says. The Ramban says that people tend to love themselves more than they love anybody else around them. And therefore, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha is haflaga. It's just an exaggeration. It doesn't mean what it says. You know, theologically, the Ramban is placed in kind of a strange position. As the Ramban says, the Torah can come and tell you to do something, but it doesn't really mean it. It doesn't really mean it. If the Torah would tell me to like jump off the roof, that they would say, well, the Torah didn't mean jump off the roof. The Torah tells you, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, and the Ramban says, doesn't mean it. It's haflaga. So I go on a little further in the Ramban. So you know the Gemara, they have this issue about two people, and they're out in the desert, and they have enough water for one of them to live. Right? If they divided the water up between the two of them, they would both die. So how do you do it? What do you do? So Rabbi Akiva said, Chayecha Kodmim. That in such a situation, you have to take care of yourself before you take care of the other person. Right? It's like on the plane, you know, they always say, first you put the mask on over your head, and then over the face of the children. Right? Which I guess is the pshat in the pasuk.
No?
No,
because if you already lose consciousness, you can't put the mask for your child. So you have to...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I thought I knew that.
I guess you didn't.
Anyway, so Rabbi Akiva said, Laban chayecha kodmim chayecha vercha. So the Ramban said, it's obvious. Even Rabbi Akiva said it. Even Rabbi Akiva said, Zeklal gadol batorah. Remember Rashi? Rabbi Akiva said, Zeklal gadol batorah. It sounds like it means, you should do it. You should always do it. Right? Zeklal gadol batorah. Same Rabbi Akiva said, "Chayecha kodmim l'chayei chaverecha." Okay. Let's look at the Rambam before we go back to the Ramban. See, the Rambam is on the bottom of the page. The Rambam of the Yad HaZakah, the Rambam in his halachic work says the following: mitzvah. You know what a mitzvah is according to the Rambam? That it's one of the Taryag, one of the 613 mitzvot. And one of the 613 mitzvot, which is directed to us in the Torah. Every mitzvah, according to the Rambam, has a root in the Torah. Has a root in the Torah, that's why he wouldn't include, say, lighting Hanukkah candles as a mitzvah. Even though others might. It's not clear that there's a difference between saying something's a mitzvah min ha-Torah and something's a mitzvah midrabanan. Of course, you know, if you have difficulty doing one or the other, there might be a different, the psak might be different, but a priori, if there's no issue, then you're just as obliged to do a mitzvah d'rabbanan as you're obliged to do a mitzvah min ha-Torah. There's no real difference. So the Ramban says, mitzvah, al kol adam lehov et kol achad ve'achad mi'Yisrael kegufo. So now the Ramban lived after the Rambam. But you can see that the Ramban must have known the Rambam. The Ramban says, no, you can't do that. no one can love his fellow as he loves himself. And that's exactly what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, Mitzvah, kol adam ve'ovet kol echad ve'echad mi'Yisrael kigufo. Shene'emah ve'avtal re'echa. Come on, that's pretty clear. Shene'emah ve'avtal re'echa. But when you put the Rambam against the Ramban, and I like close my eyes and I try to think, who am I? Am I a Rambam person? I mean, not, I don't mean like. I mean, am I the person that the Rambam is talking about? Or am I the person the Ramban is talking about? I think most people, I have not counted them or made a survey, but people said talk like that, right? Say, most people would probably find themselves in the camp of the Ramban. It would be very easy for me to say, well, when push comes to shove, I like myself better than I like other people. And the Ramban, this creative pshat of the Ramban, makes the pasuk difficult. Makes it difficult, I'd say, whereas the less creative pshat of the Rambam makes the pasuk very easy. V'haftal re'echa kamocha, do it. Do it. That's what the Rambam says. Shenema v'haftal re'echa kamocha. V'fikach tzarich l'sapeh b'shivcho v'lachus al mamono. No, as the saper b'shivcho, you have to talk about the good things of the other person. You have to build them up. And you have to, lachus al mamono, you have to worry about his money just as you'd worry about your own reputation and your own finances. Kasher hu chas al mamon atzmo, just as he is watchful on his own money. Verotze b'chvod atzmo, and seeks honor for himself. V'amitkabed b'kalon chaveiro, ein lo chelek l'olam haba. And that's the beginning of the pasuk that we saw. Lo tiko, lo tiko, ve'lo tisnat achicha b'lvavecha. Right? Anybody who acts in such a way that the Torah prohibits, ein lo chelek l'olam haba. If you look at Halacha Vav, Kishayachta ish le'ish, this is the other pasuk that we learned. Yachta ish le'ish, lo yistemenu v'yishtok, kimo she'ne'emar b'rishaim, v'lo deber Avshalom et Amnon me'uma le'merav atov, kisane Avshalom et Amnon. Even though they hated each other, Avshalom and Amnon, he didn't express anything. Ela mitzvah alav lahodi'o v'lomalo lama asita li kaf v'kach. He's explaining the pasuk, right? The pasuk Yud Zayin. Lo tisnat achicha b'lvavecha hocheach tochia. Right? In other words, you have to rebuke him. Ela mitzvah alav lahodi'o v'lomalo lama asita li kaf v'kach v'lama chatata li Bidvar Ploni Shenemar, Ocheach Tocheach Adam Itecha, that's our pasuk. Vim Chazar Bikesh Vimenu Limcholo, if he asks for forgiveness, Tzarich Limchol, he has to forgive him. Velo Yehem Ochel Achzari, and the person who forgives should not be a despicable kind of person. Shenemar Vipalel Abraham El Halokim, that Avraham Avinu tried to do that as well. So you have, according to the Rambam, a directive. V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, you should love your fellow as you love yourself. But maybe it's not what the Rambam really thinks. I mean, he just says that. And the reason that I point this out is that there's another mitzvah of love that the Rambam feels is very important, and that's Ahava Hashem. Everybody knows there's a mitzvah of Ahava, of love of God, and a mitzvah of Yira, a mitzvah of Yira, fear of God. And it's hard for us to see what the parameters of a successful Ohev Hashem might be. Because when it comes to V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, it sounds like I could figure it out. I should be chas al mamono. I have to worry about his money, I have to worry about his kavod, I have to worry about his standing. That's called ahava. Because ahava is not an emotional connection to another person, but it's functional. I do in a way, in a special way. When it comes to Avas Hashem, I mean, what is Avas Hashem? What is Avas? So if Avas Hashem was do the mitzvot, do everything that God commands you to do, okay, then I can understand that Avas Hashem is a kind of a cumulative way, a way of saying, serve God. And how do you serve God? Whatever God told you to do, I mean, that's what you do. That's Avas Hashem. That's what we might say. But that's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that Avas Hashem is a separate mitzvah and has nothing to do with any other mitzvah. You could shake a lulav, you could eat a matzah, you could daven three times a day or more, and that none of that equals Avat Hashem. According to the Rambam, Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Bet, the Rambam says, Avat Hashem, a lot of these concepts are retro-human concepts. Like where did we learn about how we relate to God? I mean, what could be the source of the teaching of how to relate to God in any particular situation? It must be the way we relate to each other. The way we relate to each other, so that v'ahavta l'recha kamocha would turn out to be an indicator about how to perform the mitzvah of Avat Hashem. Now, what does the Rambam say about Avat Hashem? What is it that enables me to create Avat Hashem? The Rambam says, science. You look at the world. You look at the way the world runs. And you say, all this wisdom, all this understanding, all this creativity, all this remarkable conflation of processes, of chemical processes, physical processes, wow, God must really love us. Now this is very similar to the conclusion that children come to necessarily about their parents. Right? Their parents, I mean, provide for them. They help them. They do things for them. And therefore, that creates a relationship called Ahava, according to the Rambam. Now, it's true that sometimes parents and children have a rough patch, but even those children who had a difficulty growing up, which is very popular today, if you didn't have difficulty, you're not like for real. So even those children that had difficulties, you know, when they get older and older and older, they suddenly find themselves doing things in the way their fathers did it, or the way their mothers did it. It's very odd. It's very odd. But people start imitating their parents. And then they don't know that they imitate, or they don't really think about it too much until somebody points it out to them. But the love that children have for their parents, which is based on what the parents provided for the children, that kind of love is very, very difficult. It's very, very difficult to overlook and to deny. So that, according to the Rambam doesn't say this, the Rambam only says the second part. According to the Rambam, if you look at the world and how much chokhmah, or divine intelligence, went into the creation of the world, you've got to be astounded at the amount of love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed on to His creation. The love that God had for His creation, the created, is represented by the quality of the world that was created. So that Avas Hashem is a natural reaction to looking. Just look around. Just see what's going on in the world, and you're going to be in love with the one who created it all, made it all possible, did it all. But you have to understand that even though the Rambam says this, Avas Hashem has a sliding component I mean, it's probably true that someone who knows nothing about the world that was created, nothing scientific, I mean, I'm sure there are other factors, so I give in already before you ask. But if a person knows nothing about the created world, he's losing an opportunity to develop within him this notion that God loves us and therefore give you the opportunity to do the mitzvah of Ahavat Hashem. Now this is called in philosophy, this is a value ethical system. In other words, I don't love God because it's a mitzvah to love God. I love God because it's the only reasonable thing to do. It's the only thing that makes sense. Now there may be things connected to Avas Hashem that I do before I fully understand, but that's all right. As long as I get, according to the Rambam, to the point of Avas Hashem. So if a person knows nothing about the world that was created, so I would imagine that his opportunity for Avas Hashem is a little bit less. And people who have, again, don't make a mistake. I'm not saying that scientists become religious people. I did not say that. I said religious people who know science can enhance, through that science, can enhance the notion of Avas Hashem. That's what I said. It's not, doesn't make Balei Tshuva, it doesn't do anything like that. Right? People are people. But if you have a religious inclination, and if you're interested in developing it, then the science for that person is a tremendous aid. This ability to look at the world and to see what's going on in the world is quite remarkable. So you see from this discussion that there could be a mitzvah that has a sliding value. Because not everybody does it the same way. Not everybody achieves the same level of intensity. Not everybody loves his parents the same way as somebody else loves his parents. But everybody has that challenge. And so when the Ramban says, you look at the Ramban, and the Ramban says, really is a key, Yikabel Leif, Lo Yikabel Leif Adam Sheehov et Chaveiro, Gahavato et Nafsho. Says when the Ramban says, V'hatu L'recha Kamocha, doesn't really exist. We're not really like that. But we can be lovers, as the Ramban explains further on, we can be lovers of our fellow men. We can be concerned about them. We can be careful about their property, their money, their kavod, their honor. We can do all of those things. Maybe not in an ultimate way. Maybe we can't get to the last stage, go to the final stage where everything I have and everything I think of my neighbor is exactly the same. I can't get to that. But that's the mitzvah, that's the nature of the mitzvah of Ahava. Everybody in their own lives knows that they've had moments of great love. But things happen. And we're overwhelmed. We're overwhelmed by the love, you know, of Shir HaShirim. It happens. You know, it happened. That moment generally wanes. It doesn't stay with that same intensity. It goes and it comes and it goes and it comes. And so when the Ramban says there's tremendous stability in the love a person has for himself, and that kind of stability doesn't exist in the love a person has for somebody else, but that doesn't mean that you can't achieve love for another person from time to time. So this is what the distinction, I think, between the Rambam and the Ramban is. The Rambam says here in Hilchot Deyot that v'haftel recha kamocha means literally v'haftel recha kamocha. But when the Rambam discusses the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, then the Rambam says The rabbi says, Avas Hashem is variable. It's not the same for everybody. It's not the same achievement for everybody. So that you might understand from that Rambam that you have to work at it. You know, there are things you have to work at. You know, more or less, we all assume that if we eat the matzah on Pesach, we did it. But you did the mitzvah. I mean, you don't feel badly about not eating the mitzvah, the matzah properly. You know, you do what you look in your Haggadah, it says this is what you do, and you do it. But when it comes to Avas Hashem, we know. It's like thinking about Kavana. Thinking about Kavana, that we don't always achieve what we like to have thought that we could achieve. And we have this problem. There's always this disparity between an imagined, something we imagine, and something that we're actually able to do. So the Ramban said, talking about the pasuk, it said, "Rahav l'recha kamocha." It's a kind of a goal. It's kind of something that we're interested in, that we are pushing ourselves towards. But it is not something that is always achievable. In fact, the Ramban is willing to say that for most people, it's unachievable. It can't happen. It's not going to happen. That's what the Ramban says. Okay, so this is what I have to say about V'ahav l'recha kamocha. I think that the Arizal who had a special feeling for kavana, for intention. You know that there are these Kabbalistic notes that appear at this time of the year, right? In the Haggadah, we say, some people say, it's always printed in small print, sort of to give you the option of avoiding it. Hineni muchan mezumen l'kayim kol sheni mi'arba kosov. You know that? I mean, it's in every, I think almost every Haggadah. It has, you know, you can see that the Arizal had this tremendous impact. When Chazal created Brachot, so what they meant was, you have to think for a second before you do whatever you're going to do. Even if it's a Birkat HaMitzvah, Birkat HaNe'anim, you have to stop, you say, which means, I am reminding myself that I'm about to do a mitzvah, which Chazal thought was a necessary component in doing a mitzvah. Because if you would just eat the matzah, I mean, you know, probably everybody would be kind of hungry at that time, having, you know, done the Seder for as long as you might, and just eat, gobble up the matzah. So Chazal said, no, we don't want you to gobble up the matzah, we want to say a bracha. But by the time of the Arizal, the brachot themselves became part of the, what became regular. You know, you ever see little kids say brachot? I mean, like, they have the piece of chocolate. There's no difference in the amount of time it takes to get the chocolate into their mouths with a bracha and without a bracha. It's exactly the same. So that the Arizal perceived that the brachot were not doing it, so to speak. That you weren't like the additional kind of kavana that was supposed to be inspired by brachot just wasn't doing it. So he said, we're going to do this now. We're going to say what it is that we're about to do before we do the mitzvah. It was like double jeopardy. And everybody understood that this was the right thing to do. So that's on the Seder. When it came to Sfirat HaOmer, it worked out a little bit differently. Even though Sfirat HaOmer in most Sidurim start with a long paragraph which explains what it is we are going to do. which is the Kaddish Sfirat HaOmer. We say that before the bracha, which you would think also explains what it is we're going to do, but as I've just told you, it's never enough, right? The bracha wasn't enough, the explanation wasn't enough, and now, in modernity, in our day, there is this dispute going on between those who want to sing that paragraph, because it has a catchy tune that is... I could sing it for you, but I don't think I want to. It has a catchy tune, and then there are the yeshiva guys who don't sing it because they heard someplace that the Noda Behuda, who was a great rabbinic scholar, didn't like it. And in fact, in shul, when he was in shul, he didn't allow a shalich tzibur to say it. How he did that exactly, I'm not sure. But in any event, anyway, this is like, come down in one of like the essential Jewish issues. So we finish with the Palestinians, and we'll get the same committee to decide if we should sing Usfardim Lachemi Macharat HaShabbat, or skip it entirely and go right on to the bracha. But the point is that people had lost the ability to consider what they were about to do. And that's what we call Kavanah. Kavanah doesn't mean that you're up in heaven someplace. Being up in heaven someplace is also good. But that's not what Kavanah is. Kavanah is just that I know what it is I'm about to do. So if I have to eat a matzah, I have to eat the matzah because God wants me to eat the matzah. And if I count Sfirat HaOmer, it's because God wants me to count Sfirat HaOmer. So I say a bracha. And that's what the bracha says, right? Baruch Atah Hashem, again, because you're 200% of. Tzivanu, the Tzivanu, that's like a critical word here. Al Sfirat HaOmer. So that's how Chazal solved the problem, but that's how the Arizal solved the problem. And when it came to V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, the Arizal apparently thought that people had lost the ability to concern themselves about V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. And therefore the Arizal posited that everybody should say V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha every morning in davening, the first thing you say in the davening, the first thing. And that's how it became represented in all the Siddurim that have some kind of Kabbalistic connection, like the Chabad Tilat Hashem Siddur, which starts off with V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. Okay, have a good Shabbos.